It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show.
928-854-5687. That's 854-5687.
Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
Yo, police!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
Yo, police!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul Lavoie.
And welcome to Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Brother Jim Russell.
Indeed so. Here I am.
This is your favorite day, though, because you get to speak Spanish right at the beginning of the show.
Si.
So what day is this, Jim?
This is El Dia de los Dos Jefes.
Yeah, so you did what I did. Uh-huh. I say Los Jefes, but it's Dos Jefes, because they're both kings of the hill.
Yes,
right?
Indeed.
And we've got Police Chief Dan Doyle. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Pleasure welcome
to be
back.
Here.
I should say, and Fire Chief Pete Palafis.
How you doing, Paul?
Big star in the newspaper. Got your mugshot in there. Yes. I'm surprised with your size. I'm not saying, and he's pretty lean, but with your size that you fit in the picture frame.
Yeah, it's just lenses.
A miracle.
Lenses, I know.
Arnold Schwarzenegger had the same problem.
Actually. I was watching, we were getting ready for a gig the other night, and I was watching at TMZ on one of the TVs, and we were all set up and everything, and it was a picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger in the heyday.
Yeah.
His head was too small for his body. He was this big bodybuilder, and he has this little, you know.
You can't really exercise your head.
What was that character, Stretch Armstrong, you remember?
Yeah.
He had the little head. That was Arnold.
Yeah, your head's just going to stay the same size.
All due respect, Arnold, if you're listening, you know.
Yeah, he still looks tough.
Yeah.
He looks at me like I'm a, you know, 16-penny nail, right?
Yeah.
Or 10-penny nail. What do they call those, Jim? You know.
I don't know.
Railroad spike?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. He doesn't want to get involved.
You didn't work on the railroad?
All right. Welcome to Speak Out, everybody. It's Monday, May 17th, 2021, and Jim was conspicuously absent last week, but we don't have to go into
no,
it or anything.
No.
You were in Phoenix.
I was in Phoenix, yes. In Phoenix.
He was relaxing.
My wife getting a new hip. We'll throw that in.
All right. Perfect. All right.
But, boy, why does anybody live in Phoenix? Why does anybody live in a big city?
Exactly. Exactly.
I couldn't tell you.
Man.
I did 2 years in Vegas recently, and I was done.
That was some sort of punishment, I assume.
Yeah. And Phoenix is six times larger. Yeah. So what are you going to do? All right. Tonight at 7:10, first pitch, Diamondbacks taking on the Dodgers for the first time this season.
Yeah.
It could get ugly.
Yeah?
Think
so?
It could. We lost 2 out of 3 to Washington over the weekend. So that is on the sports station, 980 AM, 100.5 FM, and 94.3 here in Lake Havasu City, of course. Now, you might know something about this gentleman, the Life Jacket Exchange that's going on. You want to talk about that a little bit, or is that an MCSO thing?
Yeah, MCSO's sponsoring that. I don't want to take any thunder from the sheriff.
It's in partnership with Arizona Game and Fish. They're hosting a Life Jacket Exchange on May 22nd. That's this Saturday, 10 a.m. to noon, at the London Bridge Beach Stage in Lake Havasu City. exchange your worn, torn, or otherwise unserviceable life jacket for a new vest-style life jacket.
Wow.
I thought they'd be giving out the ones.
They give out nice vests.
Yeah.
And, you know, big kudos to the Sheriff's Department for sponsoring that. That's a great deal.
And don't bring orange Type 2 life jackets because they will not be accepted as part of the exchange program. The life jackets are exchanged on a first-come, first-served basis. So, Jim, if you have a boat, get there early.
Yeah.
All right?
Round up all your life jackets.
All I'm going to suggest.
So what type is not covered there?
Type 2.
Type 2?
Is that what it is?
What's type 2?
Yeah, those are those orange, those cheapy.
K-Pock ones.
Yeah.
Right. Well, these are not. Remember the life belts?
Yes.
Like back in
day? Oh, certainly.
And that would be in the 40s and 50s.
The early ski belts. that you.
And floaties don't work either.
Right, right. When Jim was operating a rowboat and his girlfriend had a parasol back in the 40s. Right?
I'm not laughing at that,
no.
Jim.
No.
I was laughing at something else.
The parasol? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, guys. Anyway, welcome to the show. And I don't know what we were going to get to first.
Public safety.
Your picture was in the paper, though, Chief P.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes you first today.
Yep, I agree.
All right. Yeah. You drew the short straw because you want all the publicity. You got it, right? So this is about leaving the department in better shape. You're 1 year into the job,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
So leaving the department in better shape than when you got here.
I don't think he's leaving.
No.
Where are you going?
That's not where I'm going with it.
What you're thinking? Do you have an announcement to make?
Yeah, this is a nice way to drop it on
him. See, God, what's happening here?
Jim's baiting me here.
Yeah.
That's not what a good co-host does.
Hey, it's been a good run, Pete.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
No, what I mean is when you leave,
sure.
which could be 20 years from now,
could be.
You want the department to be in better shape than it is. And you're looking at new equipment.
Sure. Yeah. What I'm doing is just developing a plan for the future of the fire department and future for the city. I mean, what it's about is this: what is the expectations from the community and their service demand? And that's what I'm trying to meet. And I need to have to make sure that our firefighter paramedic have the necessary equipment to provide that level of service that the community expects. So just going through the planning process. I mean. That's what I think any leader would do, is just make sure that you have a plan. And the thing is, we have to just make sure we can adjust to that plan if something, comes out of the blue, a pandemic, recession.
Yeah. Right.
The thing is, we always need to look at the positives, but we also have to prepare when things start getting tough. But the thing is, the citizens expect the service from our city, and I'm going to make sure that we provide that for them.
And in your case, it's certainly a critical thing to have the vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't do much good to have great firefighters and great paramedics if their trucks don't start.
But they call them apparatus.
Yes, yes.
The magic word.
Vehicle apparatus.
Right.
Yeah, and it's important to have a reliable fleet, and that's what we're doing. Not saying that our fleet is not reliable, just planning for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And these are big-ticket items that need to have planning involved to make sure that we can afford them and make sure we get them. And like I said this before, is, you know, when we get apparatuses, this is a gift from the taxpayer. We're using their funds to purchase these large purchase items to provide a service to them and our visitors. So I take great pride in our fire department. I take great pride in what the taxpayers give us and what the city council and the city manager supports us with.
So speaking of funding, mm-hmm. how much of that comes from actual taxpayer funding or city reserves, and how much of that is grant funding?
Well, the thing is, most of that, for at least apparatus, is through the general fund. And obviously there are capital outlays. But just like they've explained, there's certain funds for certain aspects of government. You know, there's not an enterprise fund for the fire department. Right? You know, that's one for the water and sewer, and that has to go directly back into that particular project. We at the fire department will always search out other means of sources of funds. I mean, we are very aggressive when it comes to federal grants, state grants, to take some of that burden off the city and the taxpayers. And it is this effort, but it's very competitive. This make sure that are able to express our needs, especially in a rural community, and the limited resources that we do have in this area. So it's really just understanding and having that plan, presenting it, and having the data and facts to justify what we're doing.
Sure. Are you at the stage where you've looked at when the last time some of these pieces of equipment were actually replaced?
Sure. Well, there was a big purchase back in 2014.
Okay.
Obviously, there was a dire need for the apparatus, and the previous chief, Dennis Mueller, did an excellent job presenting what his needs were. The thing is, what he did is just leave me the residual of, all right, now what am I going to do be moving forward? I can go back and do a group purchase. All right. I can also do a single purchase, and if this is what our plan is talk to the manufacturer saying that, hey, this is the rig that I'm going to spec out for the next 5 years, and I'm going to purchase through you. Is there some type of discount, or can we work out some cost-effective way of getting these apparatus?
I know from reading the – or learned from reading the little bit in the newspaper, you made mention of the rebuilding. Or I assume the rebuilding of a fire truck involves a great deal more than just rebuilding a diesel engine.
Well, it's the refurbish of it. So the thing is, it's still going to have the components in the same layout. It's just bringing everything, just renewing everything in it, the electrical system, the brake system, the transmission, the engine, just getting an overhaul so I can extend that life of that current asset that we have. And it's just more cost effective. Many fire departments across the nation do refurbished programs. Some of them are successful, some of them are not so successful. Mm-hmm. It just depends on who's doing the refurb of that rig and holding them accountable of what we want to get done. I mean, it's still roughly a budget of roughly about $300,000, so it's not a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
It's still some quite a bit of money, but the other side of it, buying a new engine is well over $700,000 plus.
Jeez.
So if I could save that and extend it over a 5 to 8 year period, that's mm-hmm. being fiscally responsible. And it'd still be able to have that capability of providing that service that we need.
So I recall correctly, I think you shared when you were on the air the last time that the fleet that you have now was all purchased replaced at one time?
Yeah, well, the frontline apparatus, the engine and truck, they were all purchased in 2014. So they had a group purchase where they purchased all those rigs because they had a need for it. The apparatus that they currently had was basically has reached their life, and it was costing more to maintain it than to get new ones.
Sure,
yeah.
So the thing is, and don't get me wrong, it just really depends on how much the budget can handle those big purchases. Don't get me wrong, there's many options that we can lease, and when they say lease, it's just basically, it's like a car payment, yeah. All right? We're just getting a loan to pay this off in a period of time, and that's what in 2014 they did. They took a 10-year lease, and they continuously paid it. Now that payment's coming up in 2023. Now we've paid off all those rigs. We own all of them now. So now we have that asset. Now it's just basically coming up with a plan of how are we going to consistently replace them, getting on a schedule. And the thing is, it's important that, I want to standardize that each of the engines are going to look the same, have the same equipment, and let the firefighters basically help. And I have a committee started that they're looking at specking out a rig.
So when you're talking about engines and fire trucks, are you also talking about water, the pumps for the water, the tankers? Are you talking about hydraulics as well, checking all those over and refurbishing them too?
Well, the thing is, for the refurbish program, it's just going to look at the core of the engine, the trans, the electrical system, the braking system, to make sure that they're all in working
but
order.
But not the extras.
Well, I guess the extras, I'm still doing a full, like the paint, it's going to get repainted.
Oh,
The body's going to get lifted off the chassis, make sure that everything is basically up to par, and whatever needs to be replaced is going to be replaced. So the thing is, again, I'm refurbishing. It's taking that old, whatever, Chevelle or Corvette and basically refurbing it, trying to bring it back to newer, but it's still functional, and I can still use it, and it's still reliable.
And that's a practice that's widely done in over-the-road semis.
Sure.
And big diesel tractors. They're refurbished, for want of a better term, frequently.
Interesting.
And greatly extends their life the lifestyle of the metal.
Sure. Well, at least we don't have to worry about rust too much out here.
Yeah. So Chief Doyle was looking at me like, he'll take the driver's side front when you lift that chassis.
Yeah.
Well, you could that, right?
The fire department's getting Corvettes.
Sound like our callers.
Was that the chief part? I think, yeah.
That's what I love about communication. What you want to hear.
So if that's what you heard out there in the audience, actually verify that by giving us a call. 854-KNTR, 854-5687. You guys, man, you guys must have a running bet or something on who gets the most flax.
We have a good time.
In the orchids and onions, right? All right. Well, I picked Bob Seger because you kind of have seniority.
In honor of me?
Yeah.
Thank you.
And you have seniority.
Do I?
Right? Well, among Chiefs, yeah.
I'm older.
I don't know.
I'm old.
I'm not going there. These guys are crazy today.
Yeah.
All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. Again, 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. If you have a question for Chief Palafis or Chief Doyle.
Say that love's a losing game. Start with fire, but you lose the flame. The ashes smolder, but the warmth soon gone. And the cold and lonely on your own.
Hot for the night. And most Hollywood, yeah. She was looking so right. In her diamonds and frills.
All right, we're back on Speak Out. Brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, GDK CPA LLC, Springberg McAndrew Financial Services, Patio Paradise, Connected Computer and Technology, Horizon Community Bank, and our newest sponsor. We have a new sponsor, Jim.
Great.
Arizona Krav Maga.
What?
Yes, Arizona Krav Maga. It's a self-defense gym. Yes.
Very
absolutely.
Cool.
What do you think of all that?
I think that's wonderful.
What else do you think, Jim?
Let's see. I think
you
it's
have
great.
A spiel. I'm trying to cue you for your spiel. Man, he did have a week off.
Yeah,
this
that's
is
right.
Terrible.
I've got to be retrained.
My goodness, I guess so. All right, don't forget the Mojave County Republican Central Committee District 3's 2021 Lincoln Day Dinner. Say that all in one breath.
Very good.
I can. Saturday, June 5th, 2021, 5 p.m. social hour, 6 o'clock dinner at Chagrou's Bridgeview Room. Representative Andy Biggs and Paul Gosar, both representatives, will be there as keynote speakers. There's an AR-15 gun raffle, live auction, silent auction, 50-50 raffle, dinner tickets, $100 each. Contact the District 3 office, 928-855-8006. And you know why I could say all that in one breath at the beginning?
Special training?
Sort of. It's because I have lung capacity now. I quit smoking.
Well, congratulations.
13 years ago on Saturday.
Oh, good
the
15th. For you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Congratulations. It just kicked in?
Yeah.
I'm finally getting that lung capacity back. Thanks, Chief.
He's been trying to get his breath for 13 years.
These guys probably chew. Oh, man. Anyway, let's see, who are we going to have on tomorrow? That's right, Sonny Borelli.
Huh?
We're going to get an update, hopefully, if they're not in session, the legislature. Sonny's going to call in and give us an update on the election audit in Maricopa County, and that'll be pretty interesting. And then Larry's guest tomorrow, Kevin Haller from Wings of an Angel, and Eric Fox from ProFit Kitchen in Bullhead City. I had a chance to eat there, and I think you like a good, healthy diet, right,
yeah.
Chief? Healthy portions of what?
No,
macaroni and cheese or what?
Yeah, totally healthy.
Gluten free?
Yeah.
Well, he's got
what is gluten?
He's got a gluten free, a keto, a paleo. He's got all sorts of different dishes. So, I tried the keto bacon cheeseburgers. That actually pretty good.
They've gotten when you look at health food, just they've advanced so far with that and making a lot of healthy things that actually taste good.
Because yes.
Back in the day, you'd have to sacrifice taste for health.
Thank goodness for stevia. Well, we're talking about vehicles and refurbishing and that. Is it pretty much the same process with the Lake Havasu City Police Department?
Yeah. I mean, we all operate, as we were talking during the break, we all operate through vehicle maintenance, and they have a replacement program and a criteria that they look at when a vehicle should be replaced. So yeah, we follow that, and each year they'll come up and say, here's the vehicles that are meeting the point level to be replaced, and then we take a look at it. You compare that to budget, how many funds are available to replace, and then we make a decision on that. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's not as exciting. It just,
There aren't giant red trucks.
Yeah, or I don't have any apparatus.
or a Chief's Corvette.
I don't have any Corvette. I just, you know, I drive a regular old Ford.
Do you maintain have a maintenance shop?
The city does. So all our vehicles are maintained by vehicle maintenance down at the city shop.
Oh,
so
it's not a contractor then?
No.
Okay.
We have our own mechanics, and they handle the city fleet.
At the city yards on
down on
Lumbridge
Road. Yeah. On Doyle Drive, to be exact.
Oh.
Really?
Wow,
yeah.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, is that named after you?
Well, I'd like to say it's me.
Is that because that's the street you've written the most tickets on, or what?
No, it's after my father.
Oh, okay.
Oh, cool.
Awesome.
Oh, that's neat.
That's very cool. I wanted to ask you guys about short-term rentals and that, and how they've become so prevalent in Havasu. Has that had an impact on calls for either the police or fire department?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely get an uptick in calls, and primarily noise violations, noise fireworks. People come, and they're coming for vacation. So
fireworks?
Yeah.
All times of year?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which is a difficult one because people shoot fireworks. We get a phone call. By the time we show up, good luck finding where it came from, unless somebody can point us to the house that it's actually occurring. But we do get a higher volume of noise calls at vacation rentals, especially around holiday weekends and boating season weekends and such. So
yeah, and the neighbors get grumpy and kept up at night.
Yeah, I don't know that the neighbors are getting grumpy. I think it's just being annoyed that, you know, especially when you got to get up in the morning and go to work, and you know, at 2 a.m. they're still having a party next door. So I mean, there's a lot of locals, our residents, that get really upset by it. And you know, we always ask the people, when you stay at an Airbnb, you know, act like you would act at home. For some people, that might not be a difference, but
yeah, we may not want that.
Yeah, you're in a residential neighborhood, and people live there, and show some respect for that. But that's been a big problem, and not just for our noise ordinance, but just city overall. That a lot of our residents is just fed up with some of these are real difficult. Now, I will point out that we have very few issues with the vacation rentals that are managed by local property management companies. There's a distinct difference. Our local property managers do a great job of managing these, and we've worked very closely with them. Back when the city had a really great program that worked terrific, we had developed the program with the assistance of the property managers, and we had meetings with them. Sure. We did training with them. We did the whole bit, and we had this great program in place, and then the state came in and decided to remove individual cities' ability to regulate and threw us into a mess. So now, you know, we've been working on that. We're getting some more things in place, but our local property managers, we still work closely with them. It's the ones that they're not going through a local property manager. They're just throwing it on Airbnb. People are coming out here, and there's no local person for us to contact or work with. And now if we have a problem, now we got to search out an owner and try to make contact with an owner. And it just makes, with no responsible person, it makes it very difficult to regulate.
You know, I have always admired the job that you and your officers do here. It has to be extremely difficult police work to enforce rules and laws in a resort community.
I agree.
Especially one that's...
You're dealing with Vegas, you're dealing with a melting pot of visitors. They have different laws in different cities, and then you have to deal with
them. And they're coming to be lawless. They're coming to have a good time, get mildly drunk at least. And
It's definitely improved from back in the day. If you remember, like back in the 80s and into the early 90s.
I was drunk then.
Man,
I didn't want to bring up those old stories, Jim. But
especially that bathtub gym you were.
Well,
I remember in the 30s.
I remember him back then. We can't talk about it.
That's right.
It's definitely got a lot better. We get a much better clientele than we did back in the day. But yeah, I mean, it is different policing a resort community, because we've got, you know, two communities here. We've got our residents that live here year round, and then we've got the visitors. And while we want to, you know, we enforce the law and enforce the quality of life that we have here in Lake Havasu City, we also want to be inviting and show respect to our visitors and stuff. So it is a balancing act. And one we've always said is, you know, our thing to visitors is come to Havasu, enjoy yourselves, have a great time. It's a beautiful city. It's a great city. Mm-hmm. But just respect it and respect the rules and regulations that are in place, yeah. Which 95% of the people that come here do. It's a small percentage that cause the majority of the problems.
And perhaps that's being exaggerated or overloaded now because of all of the house rentals, mm-hmm. as yeah. opposed to the, you know, historically we had the campgrounds and the hospitality industry and yeah. a comparatively small amount of people renting houses.
Yeah, it wasn't so prevalent in the residential neighborhoods.
Now it is so prevalent.
Yeah. That's driving the problem. But, you know, there's also that, you know, the old myths and stuff that go on. We mm-hmm. also get the thing like, you know, spring break is this wild and girls gone wild and all this thing, when in fact that's not the case.
Right.
You know, whenever I go somewhere and I'm in the city and they find out, oh, you're chief from Havasu, if I'm at a conference, oh, you're at the Girls Gone Wild place, and people have this idea that we're just this Sodom and Gomorrah, no holds barred community, and which isn't the case.
So that was a few years ago.
Yeah.
Not to mention the piranhas.
Yeah. I think they're all gone now.
Yeah, I hope so. All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul LaVoy, along with Brother Jim Russell, Police Chief Dan Doyle, and Fire Chief Pete Palafis, and we're going to go out with some Journey for you, Chief Pete.
Thank you.
All right. Back with more in a moment. You're awfully quiet over there for a star in the newspaper.
No, I just listen to Dan giving him his time and shine.
Thank you.
Oh, no.
Because I need it.
You do.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Out, brought to you in part by Mojave Community College, also Chagrin's Family of Restaurants, the Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com. Speaking of guns, Chief Pete's got some serious guns over here, doesn't he?
That's awkward.
Yeah. I'm just saying. That's awkward. My goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, I got guns, but this guy's got some guns, man. All right. Sun powered by Esme Electric, Herb's Herbs, and by the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty. Bobby Lewis, Julie Lewis, Brian Vesley, and Lori Rule. And go ahead, Jim.
They're good folks all. Give them a shot at your business. When you do, tell them you learned about them on SpeakUp.
That's what I was trying to get the first time.
I know. I wanted to make you beg for it.
That was great. That was it. You know, Jim hosts a lot of events during the year. DSM events, of course.
Pre-COVID.
You ever heard of a stick pony derby? Kingman Chamber.
I've got to say, I don't know what a stick
Kingman
pony
Chamber,
is.
A stick pony, like a hobby horse.
Oh, okay.
All right. I think that's what they are. Yeah. Kingman Chamber, Area Chamber, presents Kingman Stick Pony Derby. This is something they do every year. It's at Beale Celebrations, 201 North 4th Street in Kingman. And it's on Saturday, June 12th at 6 p.m. There's a derby hat auction, a silent auction. Tickets are $35, includes betting tokens, food, and a raffle. Sponsorship opportunities are available. 753-6253. And I don't know, you could probably ask for Becky Fawson. She's the director over there at the Kingman Area Chamber. And yours truly is emceeing the event.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, well, Saturday night, June 12th.
I guess you're going to learn what a stick pony is.
I better, right? Send me the rules ahead of time, folks, if you're listening, Kingman Chamber. All right, so we're back with Chief Pete and Chief Dan Doyle, Lake Havasu Fire and Police Departments, respectively.
Oh, nice.
Was that properly done?
Yeah,
okay.
Very nice.
Mr. English guy over here.
Yeah.
So we've got high school graduations happening, that sort of thing here in the tri-state area and that. And I was going to ask, what are the qualifications for potential firefighters and police officers here for those people looking to make either fire science or law enforcement a career?
Well, the basic requirements for a police officer, you have to be 21 years of age, obviously a high school diploma, U.S. citizen, you know, the whole bit. And then once you're 21, you come down, you take a written test, you take a physical fitness test, a psychological test, polygraph, you go into background investigation, where we basically find out if you were eating crayons in kindergarten, we're going to find out about it. And
let me stop you there for a second.
Would it be crayons hit him where he lives.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Would it be easier for a high school student to go into the military first before seeking out a career in law enforcement?
So typically, what we tell when we have like our Explorer program and the kids that want to get into law enforcement is those are the options. Is we don't want them to just hang around from age 18 to 21. As we'll recommend, go to school, work on your degree, or go in the military, or do something productive with your time. Now, we will take a lot of our kids out of our Explorer program, or young adults, I should say, that come out of our Explorer program, and if we have a part-time position available, whether it be animal control or the jail, we put them in those positions until they turn 21. That way we're able to hold on to them and keep them in. Otherwise, we really push them to go to MCC or go to ASU here in town until they're old enough to apply.
Yeah, I see where a lot of detention officers actually become police officers later.
It's a great starting point. You know, they learn a lot. They learn how to talk to people. You're in close proximity with people that are in the jail, and you really learn a lot of communication on how to talk to people and how to appropriately treat them. And you're dealing with people that are obviously already in trouble and such. So they develop a lot of skills in there that help them out when they actually become police officers.
But they aren't sworn officers. There's
no
requirement for that in those positions.
Yeah, they still have to go to the police academy.
Chief Pete, is it a little different on the fire side?
Yeah, it is a little bit different. Our minimum qualifications at least 18 years of age, high school diploma, GED. We do require at this moment that you either have a national registered paramedic license, so you have to have your EMTB before you can get your paramedic, and then we will train you to be a firefighter. Through the recruitment that we're doing right now, did change that requirement to actually open it up for anybody that holds a current state, county, local paramedic license, and then we will get them to the national level, and then obviously their Arizona paramedic license.
And you're looking now.
Oh, we are. We actually, June 1st, we have one of our new candidate. It will be coming on the Lake Havasu, which is a paramedic, which is we're going to train him to be a firefighter 1 and 2. Through MCC when they have their academy opening up. But the thing is, it's important at least, you know what, I can't stress this enough, especially if you start knowing where you want to go with your career, either public safety, police, or fire. I prefer, obviously, fire over police. No offense.
None taken.
Especially in this day and age.
It's probably better for you.
Yeah, it is. But the thing is, you know what? It's just giving them a career path. You know, get that through high school. Get that through your community college. The thing is, to get your EMT, your paramedic, you're looking at about 18 months to 2 years, depending on the program. So it's almost a two-year degree. Stress the importance of, I mean, having a college, but you could still, you know, attain your college degree and get these certifications and get hired at a fairly young age. I mean, 18 years of age would be great, especially just getting a pathway. And that's what I'm stressing here is that we're looking to get back into the high school. We're talking with the Unified School District to help them with their program. Like to see some homegrown individuals that are here from Havasu that are interested in the fire service or, you know, police to serve their community.
But preferably fire, right?
Oh, definitely preferably fire.
So the military service aspect of it, if someone were a corpsman, would that serve as an advantage?
I 100%. I support the military. They give some structure, gives them direction. It really preps them to get into the public safety aspect of it because, I mean, we are at least fire paramilitary organization where if you have that structure, it's going to be great and you're going to bring some of that asset to the department. But I also need to be certified as an emergency medical technician, I prefer paramedic, because we want to maintain that advanced life support that we provide the community. And I think across the nation, we are seeing a shortage in individuals getting into our profession.
Yeah. Oh, is that so?
It is. Yeah. I mean, we went through recruitment, and we tried, you know, obviously expanding. We're going to expand beyond Arizona, and we've gotten some individuals from other states that have, you know, interest in coming here. But the thing is, I want interest from home here and keep them in Havasu. But I think it's important that we're going to have to actively recruit. I mean, this is where we're not in the Phoenix area valley where, you know, you have the people that want to have them come out to here is going to take a little bit of time, but it's selling what we have out here. And it's a wonderful community. It's a great place to serve. And that's what we're trying to focus on, to get individuals to come out here, to get into the public safety.
And it's probably a little tougher to get the 18-year-old segment of the population
sure.
motivated
yeah.
to want to come to Havasu as opposed to those of us a little older.
Sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that's all the trades, you know, especially in, you know, public safety, but talking to a lot of business owners that are in trades, from welders and mechanics and electricians and plumbers, and you know, it doesn't seem to be the number of younger people wanting to get into those type of jobs anymore.
Right. Yeah. And it's sort of a across the age range nationally, isn't it? I mean, we've got a shortage of workers pretty well universally, it
yeah.
seems now.
And our problem in law enforcement has just been obviously all the negative, you know, people watching.
Oh,
you
yes.
watch the news every day and you read the newspaper and you see what's going on. What they don't realize is that we don't, you know, those are problems. A lot of that is occurring in these major cities, and meanwhile, rural law enforcement sitting out there saying, "Yeah, we don't have yeah. those issues, and we don't have those problems."
Right, which leads me to a perfect segue, because there's much talk about defunding police and that nationwide. And then, if the government had its way, especially in my opinion, under Democratic leadership, they would grow it to a federal police force.
Yeah.
And in municipalities, and that they are proposing that in some areas, some large cities. What is your take on all that?
Horrible.
I realize that, knowing you.
So here's the problem, and I know many guys that work for federal police forces, national police forces in other countries and stuff. And here,
oh, you do?
Oh, yeah. I've met them through chiefs conferences and such. Mm-hmm. And here's the problem is right now, so Lake Havasu City has its own police department. I work for the city manager, who works for the city council, who's elected by the citizens of Lake Havasu. So the citizens have a lot of control of what occurs in our departments. If they have a problem, they can call the city manager. If they don't like something, they go to city council. If city council sees a problem, they direct the city manager to address it, and he's my boss, and we do it that way. If it was a national police force or a federal police force, I would be like a commandant, you know, probably not even from Lake Havasu, and I would have the contingency that's assigned here, but none of us work for Lake Havasu City. I don't work for the city manager. I don't work for the city council. I'm a completely separate entity, so they really have there's no community control over what, you know, we want to make sure our mm-hmm. citizens are happy and what's important to them, and that we're addressing what's important to the community. With a national police force, you don't have that local control. They report to somebody back in Washington, D.C.
It would be as if you and your chain of command, if you will, were stationed here.
Yeah, exactly. You're like a garrison that's stationed in that community.
Wow.
So it just removes local control, which, you know, I mean, there's those people, powers that be, and out there that just would like to remove all local control in all aspects. And I think that's a horrible idea, that, you know, we don't want to hand over all our local control over our government
right.
here locally to somebody back in Washington, D.C.
Wow, that was an eye opener. I'm really surprised.
So. Yeah, it's one of the most incredibly dumb ideas that I think everybody, just speaking frankly,
yeah.
my opinion, Dan Doyle. Not necessarily.
Well, nobody manages a small town better than the small town itself.
Well, you know, I mean, that's
or
the thing
any
is,
city.
You know, I've lived in Havasu since 1988. Both my boys are born and raised here. My parents lived here. They passed away here. They're buried here. My brother lives here. His family. Very connected to Lake Havasu City. If you have a person in charge that gets, every time they want to get reassigned, and so all of a sudden you have a new, whatever they want to call it,
yeah.
El Comandante or whatever, that rotates through every couple of years. Well, what interest do I have in Lake Havasu City if I'm just going to be here for maybe 3-4 years max and I'm going to be out of here?
Right.
I don't care what happens here when I leave, right? So
On Batman, we called him Commissioner Gordon, right?
Yeah, yeah. Who knows what they would come up with? I'm sure it wouldn't be super intelligent.
Right. So, on a serious note, we have about 5 minutes left. We're coming out of the pandemic, obviously, and I'd like to know what lessons were learned, if any, over the past year, 14, 15 months, both the fire and police departments. What lessons have we learned here?
Well, the big lessons in the fire service is just changing our response model, our protocols, making sure that our firefighters are safe. The thing is, if I have a firefighter that doesn't report to work, I need to replace them to maintain that level of service. If I had a desk job, basically that work will stay there, and that person just obviously takes their leave. So having a contingency plan. You know, if I don't have any more staffing, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to reduce services. And I really learned about individuals and personal views and personal choices. When you're at work, is we required masks to protect you because I needed you to maintain that level of service. PPE shortages with the supply of masks. This budget. How it had an impact on our overtime budget with individuals being off and sick or sick for quarantined for 2 weeks and mm-hmm. I had to replace them. Just educating the public too. Just advising that we're doing everything that we can to protect them, but they also have to do everything they can to protect us to maintain that continuity of service throughout the community. Deconning procedures, quarantine. I mean, there's a lot of lessons that have learned that I think has shined some light on some of the things that we need to improve on, but it's also things that we've had in place and prepared for too. And just having that plan is so important on our end.
Chief, did you have a lot of impact on staff?
I had about 50%.
50%?
That during some period was either affected by exposure or had COVID theirself. But the only thing is, what's nice is I had a contingency plan, what I would have to do to reduce services because I just didn't have the staffing, or I'm not going to force someone to work 96 hours straight.
Sure.
So they need time. But most of the time it was related to off-duty activity. Because when you were at work, I was protecting you. I made you wear a mask. I put a mask on the patient. So, again, there's where a lot of choices, personal choices, can definitely have an impact on the services that we provide. And it's just like shutting down stations, not opening to the public. It's actually quarantining them where they just would respond to emergency calls only to reduce that exposure.
During the peak of the pandemic, did the COVID-related calls for service, was that significant?
Well, the thing is, we just determined everybody had COVID. So it was just easy. So then the thing is, there was no guessing game. It's just assume everybody has COVID.
Yeah.
This is how we're going to treat everybody equally. There was a time where, you know, going to the hospital was not probably the best choice because you might be getting COVID. So we saw an influx of call volume kind of dip, and then we saw it increase. So it fluctuated. We had some peaks and valleys, but it also had an impact on how we delivered service too. I would not send as many people to a call because I reduced that exposure. So
Chief Doyle, do you concur? We have about a minute left.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the biggest thing we had out of it was in collaboration with all the other departments and the city as a whole, flexibility. You know, we had to be very flexible in how we were addressing things. But for the police department, probably the biggest thing we dealt with, obviously, was as governor was putting out executive orders and all these different mandates and stuff, is really trying to balance individual liberties and take a look at everything that we were doing. And especially in such a conservative location as Lake Havasu City, to make sure that we're doing what we can to keep the city safe, to protect people, but also to be very cognizant of individual liberties and make sure that those weren't being trampled on either.
Well done. All right.
Yes. Perfect. And thanks to both of you for the great jobs you do for our city.
Thank you.
Right. Absolutely. Chief, Fire Chief Dan Doyle, Fire Chief Pete Palafis, and Brother Jim Russell.
Wow.
Did I say it right?
No.
Police Chief Dan Doyle, Fire Chief Pete Palafis.
Jeez, Paulie.
You got to retrain me.
Train him and train him and train him.
Jim takes a week off, and I got to be retrained. Yeah. So there you go. All right. Anyway, back with more in a moment. Jim and I will have a final shot when we get back. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
up on the stage. And here I go, playing star again. There I go.
Every time he plays the bell. All right, Paul Lavoie back with Brother Jim Russell. And we were just discussing Memorial Day, not this weekend, but the week after.
Gosh.
Right?
No.
No, is you it, and I were.
Yeah, I know.
Yes,
but
it is.
But is it really is next weekend the 20th?
We won't have a show on the 31st,
okay,
which is a Monday. So the 28th starts on Memorial Day weekend, which is a Friday.
Okay.
All right.
You're right. I'm signing on to that now.
Okay. Again, scheduled for tomorrow's show is Sonny Borelli. If he can't make it, we do have a backup guest, but hopefully Sonny Borelli will be on to give us an audit update on the 2020 election. All right, Brother Jim.
And a good day to
you. We got to go. We'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out.